Friends, it is good to worship with you this morning. I think we can all agree that after our months of quarantine and figuring out creative ways to worship at home, it's a blessing to be able to gather together as a community of believers, even if we do have to sit far apart from one another. And it's a unique experience to sing into a face mask. I've learned to put a breath mint in before church to mask the coffee breath that gets caught in the face mask. We continue to be blessed by this community of believers. We still acknowledge this place as Rainbow Church because when we first started worshiping with Hanover International Worship, our daughter Emmy was 4 years old and spent a lot of time in the children's corner here under the rainbow. So this will forever be Rainbow Church for our family. But we continue to be reminded that as the rainbow was a promise of God to the people of the Old Testament, we continue to trust that God will continue to fulfill his promises for this community of believers. So I pray a prayer of blessing on this community. Friends, we remember, don't we? We remember. This morning we have two stories about forgiveness and forgiving. In our Old Testament lesson, we have the conclusion of the story of Joseph and his brothers. And our New Testament lesson is a fascinating parable of debt and the forgiveness of debts. I think we as 21st century people try to gloss over some stories of the Bible. So the final sentences of our gospel passage are quite strong, aren't they? That God will deal with us the way the master dealt with the slave if we refuse to forgive the debts of others. But the first thing I would like to point you towards is our capacity as human beings for remembering. Because we're often like this first enslaved person, aren't we? Even though the first slave owed the master a massive amount. One person in the 1960s calculated it to be 2.4 million British pounds. So I can't imagine what that price is now. Probably 10 million British pounds. I can't imagine being in that much debt. His debt was forgiven, but he didn't extend that same grace to the fellow slaves who owed him small amounts. 100 denarii was about 2 or 3 days' wage in that time. We are the same. We remember. We keep track of the smallest wrongs done to us over our lifetimes, don't we? We remember the word of scorn or derision our parents gave us when we were young. My mom had the mistake of commenting to me when I was a senior in high school that I was like the Rock of Gibraltar. An 18-year-old young woman doesn't want to be compared to the Rock of Gibraltar. She, of course, meant it as a compliment that I was strong and secure, but those words I still remember to this day, almost 30 years later. We remember when we weren't invited out with our friends. We remember when we were passed over for a job or when we missed out on opportunities because the chance was given to someone else. Like the first enslaved person, we tally these slights, don't we? And stack them up as debts, holding them against others. Like watching a video on repeat, we tend to mentally and emotionally go over the situations where we were injured again and again and again. We retain the imprint of these situations, sometimes over a lifetime. We remember. But I think we also remember in the ways similar to Joseph's brothers. They remembered as well. We remember all the ways in which we have failed someone we love. We remember when we have said a flippant word and hurt someone's feelings. We carry in our own hearts the words Joseph's brothers said. What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him, they said. We remember all the ways that we have sinned, and we carry the weight of that guilt like a lead ball in our souls sometimes, remembering that we have failed God and let down the expectations of those closest to us. We fear the way Joseph's brothers were afraid. If people remember what we did to them, they will hold it against us. We often do the same thing in our relationship with God, even. If God remembers what we did, God might hold it against us. We remember. But these debts of remembering are too great for us to carry. Did you know that the equivalent debt of the first enslaved person towards the master was as much as a small nation would owe that master at that time? I can't imagine, because I'm depressed with a simple credit card bill. There's a feature, in our household at least, that reminds us when we're paying off our credit card bill how long it would take you to pay off the bill if you only paid a minimum amount. It will take you 7 years and 3 months to pay what you owe with this minimum payment. Talk about depressing. No wonder the first slave was so stressed. He had such a massive debt to the master. It would have taken his lifetime, as well as the lifetimes of his entire household, to come even close to paying his debt. We are aware of what happens when we remember in this way, when we hold these debts in our hearts. Hebrews 12:15 warns us about roots of bitterness that take hold when we hold on to grudges or wrongs committed by us or towards us. Hebrews 12:15 from the Message translation says, "Work at getting along with each other and with God. Otherwise, you'll never get so much as a glimpse of God. Keep a sharp eye out for weeds of bitter discontent, a thistle or two gone to seed can ruin a whole garden in no time." The ways that we remember not only the wrongs we have done, but the wrongs done to us, has a way of growing this bitterness and discontent in our very spirits. The tangle of weeds of bitterness has a way of choking out the beautiful growth of God in our lives. But here's the key, friends. Through forgiveness, we are remembered. We are remembered. We are literally put back together again. Through forgiving and being forgiven, we come back to our true selves once again. The massive debt that we owe God for our wayward and rebellious living has been forgiven. We are made whole through the person of Jesus Christ. I am aware of the fact that I'm preaching to the choir here a little bit. We're all fully aware of this philosophical ideal, right? That Jesus has forgiven us our debt that we owe to God. The master canceled the debt of the slave. But I believe that this theological idea, is one of the hardest things to put into practice in our relationship with Jesus. To extend the same amount of forgiveness to ourselves that Christ extended to us on the cross. There's a great quote from the singer Johnny Cash. When God forgave me, I figured I'd better do it too. Friends of God, your massive debt has been paid. Now it's time to extend that same forgiveness to yourself. Be remembered, literally made whole again by this forgiving grace. But not only are we made whole as individuals, one of the most powerful messages of hope I glean from today's passages is that with God, our families have a second chance. Joseph's brothers were so afraid he would remember what they did to him that they even told a lie in order to be forgiven by Joseph. Some people call this a white lie. You sort of tell an untruth to sort of get your way or to make things a bit more smooth in the end. But did you catch that? In all honesty, I didn't. It took my son John to point it out to me, actually. The brothers told Joseph that their father gave them a message for Joseph to forgive them after he had already died. So the brothers say to Joseph, "Hey, Dad told us to tell you this, but he had already passed away." The brothers carried such an immense burden of guilt over what they had done that they lied in order to try and smooth out the relationship. But by being remembered, being put back together again, it can often be a gateway to reconciliation with others. We are all fully aware of the weeds of bitterness and discontent that can run deeply through our families, sometimes for generations. But through this forgiving and forgiveness, our families have a second chance. We are remembered with one another once again. Because, beloved of God, with forgiveness, there is freedom. It has become tradition when I preach here at Hanover International Worship to wear shoes to point towards the message of the day. When we are forgiven, when we extend forgiveness even beyond forgiving someone 77 times, the roots of bitter discontent are cleared out of our garden, and we have the freedom to flourish. So today, I am wearing green shoes to symbolize this growth. With this idea of freedom through forgiveness, we can state the same words like Joseph did. Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? The answer is no. No, you are not in the place of God. When we live into that comprehension and reality, we are able to let go of our job judging the sins of others or taking control of how to punish those who have wronged us. I came across this quote recently. Choosing to hold a grudge is tremendously powerful, controlling others and you. Forgiving is even more powerful, liberating others and you. Friends, we don't often know the why of things that happen, but we do know the who. We don't know why we've been harmed. We don't know why families get into the situations they do, but we know the who that can remember us. All of the harm Joseph's brothers waged against him sometimes pales in comparison to what humans have done to one another over the years. We don't know the why, but we know the who of the universe. With God, you have been forgiven your massive debt has been canceled. And with God, your families have a second chance. With forgiveness, there is freedom to flourish. I would like to leave you with a poem by the writer Jan Richardson. May it encourage you in our pursuit of forgiving and being forgiven. It's titled, The Hardest Blessing. If we cannot lay aside the wound, then let us say, it will not always bind us. Let us say the damage will not eternally determine our path. Let us say the line of our life will not always travel along the places we are torn. Let us say that forgiveness can take some practice, can take some patience, can take a long and struggling time. Let us say that to offer the hardest blessing, we will need the deepest grace. That to forgive the sharpest pain, we will need the fiercest love. That to release the ancient ache, we will need new strength for every day. Let us say, the wound will not be our final home, that through it runs a road, a way we would not have chosen, but on which we will finally see forgiveness, so long practiced, coming toward us, shining with the joy so well deserved. Friends, this week, ask for forgiveness. Extend forgiveness, for in by doing so, you will have the freedom to flourish. Amen.